This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Wearing a mask at Halloween is not unusual, but the types of masks we're all wearing this year are certainly different. And the holiday, for many of us, will be too. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is discouraging trick-or-treating. But many local communities are still planning for it. So let's talk about staying safe on Halloween with Pediatric Associates of Mount Carmel Director and Ohio Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics President-elect, Dr. Chris Peltier. Dr. Peltier, welcome back to our program.
Thanks. It's great to be on with you again, Michael.
And we're glad to have you. And we also have with us via Zoom WVXU reporter Tana Weingartner. Tana, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking some time to chat with us. So, Dr. Peltier, if one of your patients' parents call in and say, what's your advice for Saturday? What is your advice for Saturday?
So I want to thank you for having the commissioner and Dr. Alessandrini on, because they set this conversation up beautifully. And we'll break this down in a little bit more, but it's three very simple things. Wear a mask, wash your hands, and keep your distance. It's everything that they talked about, but we're going to talk about in regards to Halloween. So wearing a mask. So, and I'm not talking about your typical, as you mentioned, you know, your typical Halloween mask that we wear every year. In addition, whether your costume has a Halloween mask or not, we would recommend that everybody wear a cloth mask that's not part of your costume. So just like you would go to school or you would go out shopping or to a restaurant, you would wear a mask. We are recommending the same thing for children. Washing your hands. Every time a child goes up to get candy, they should be washing their hands. And we'll talk a little bit about some safe ways in which children can receive their candy, but having hand sanitizer with them as they're going from door to door, washing their hands before and after they eat their candy. We know that hand washing is crucial in fighting this virus. And then keeping your distance. So I liked the conversation earlier about the bubble. So we're talking about having your trick-or-treat bubble. What I mean by that is having just family members go trick-or-treating together. So not doing it with neighbor kids this year, not doing it with school friends, but just your family members staying close together, going trick-or-treating. Everybody else should maintain that 6 feet of distance that we all talk about. And then giving candy out outdoors. And the big thing is, while you're waiting for the candy, we're all used to that big rush of lots of groups of kids rushing up to the door waiting to get their candy. It's going to be different this year. You know, parents need to remind their kids to stay distance and not crowd around the porch while they're getting their candy, to be social distance, maintaining that 6 feet. And if parents aren't comfortable that their children are going to be able to do that, then either parents should accompany their children while they're trick-or-treating to help them reinforce that, or unfortunately, this may not be the year for sending your kids out to trick-or-treat if you feel that they're not going to be able to do that reliably.
And that's Dr. Chris Peltier. And we're also joined by our Tana Weingartner. I want to mention that if you want to join this conversation to let us know what you're doing for Halloween, what precautions you're taking, or which ones you're not, 513-419-7100. We'd love to have you join us. Tana, you did a long story about the regional response to handling Halloween on Saturday in the age of COVID. And one interesting perspective that you included was how to talk to kids about Halloween. What was some of the information you were able to gather from local people to discuss how strange this is with kids?
I talked to Dr. Julie Selsmith. She's a licensed psychologist with Viewpoint Psychological Services. And she said, well, it is important to talk to kids because while you may feel that it's safe for your child to go out, their friend may not. Their parents may not have made the same decision for their child. So she said, talk to your kids. Be direct, let them know what your stance is on the issue and why, and then let them ask questions, you know, and also tailor, obviously, the way that you speak to your kids, the way you speak to your five-year-old, the language you use might be different than the way you would with a 10-year-old, and be prepared for their reactions and let them feel how they're feeling.
And Tana, while you were doing this roundup of local reactions from health officials across the region, did you find pretty consistent messaging like we just heard from Dr. Peltier?
Yes, from all the medical professionals that I spoke with about it. Basically, everybody said, follow the CDC guidelines. But if you're not going to, not do trick or treating, then follow the, you know, it's kind of like the next tier down. The CDC says don't trick or treat. But if you're going to, here's our recommendations, which is exactly what Dr. Peltier was just saying. Wash hands, sanitize between homes. And then, for the people that are handing out the candy, also, you have to take your precautions. So, Michael, is it okay if I just go there for a minute?
Absolutely, Tana. Go right ahead.
So, if you're handing out candy, wear your mask. If you're going to be inside, you need to be sanitizing that doorbell between people coming out. Now, the recommendation really would be to be outside or to have some sort of method of distributing the candy that keeps you distance. So we've seen, of course, especially in the TV news, people are making these fancy slides to get the candy down there. That's one thing you can do. Maybe for the less industrious of us, if you've got a porch rail, you can line up the candy on there so kids can just come up and grab it. My plan, I think, is going to be to have a table in my driveway, and I'll be nowhere near the kids, and I can just line the candy up, and they can come up and grab it. No communal bowl. Stay away from the communal bowl. Wipe things down in between kids. And one other thing that I had talked to Dr. Victoria Richburg-Steven, and she had said she had heard of someone who was even making their path up to their door, whatever, kind of one-way traffic, like we see in the stores, which can easily be accomplished with some sidewalk chalk.
513-419-7100 is the number to call if you'd like to share your perspective on this with us. We can go to the phones now and talk with Lisa. Hi, Lisa. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I just wanted to comment in regard to trying to give a little bit of normalcy to these kids in such an uncertain time right now. And the speaker was just talking about having a table at the end of the driveway. That's definitely what we're planning to do. So, we have a couple of little, we have a folding table that'll be at the end of our driveway. We'll be sitting, 10, 20 feet back to make sure nobody runs off with all the candy. We'll have some hand sanitizer available, no communal bowls, setting that out, when there's a lull for the kids. But it's definitely a time that we want to be cautious and responsible and, wash your hands, wear your mask, try social distance as much as possible. But I also think it's really important for these kids to just have a little bit of normalcy right now. They've zoomed out. They've done too much, online stuff. So if we can provide socially responsible alternatives for these kids to be able to do this, I think that's okay. And hopefully that will turn out to be okay health-wise for our communities.
Lisa, thank you so much for calling and sharing your perspective. Dr. Chris Peltier is with the Pediatric Associates of Mount Carmel. He's the director there, and he's also president-elect of the Ohio chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. And Dr. Peltier, we just heard our caller, Lisa, there, talk about giving kids a sense of normalcy. What are your thoughts on that? Because that does seem important, but we do also want to be safe.
Exactly. And I'm glad she brought that up. And I want to go back to our experience because we heard a lot of these questions back in late summer, July, August, when we were talking about opening schools. And I think we've been very pleased. There were lots of questions about, are kids going to be able to wear masks? Are they going to be able to do what we asked them? And I think we've been very pleased with the low rates of COVID positivity within the schools. And the kids that have been positive, contact tracing has shown that mostly those kids contacted it most likely outside of the school system. So if anything, over the last 2 to 3 months, we've learned that kids are resilient. Kids will do what we ask them to do. If we put it, as Tana said, have discussions with them in a way that's at their developmental level and appropriate. And then I think we can expect them to do that. And Halloween, especially trick-or-treating, can be done. I hate to say safe because when we talked about schools, I think there's always some inherent risk in everything we do. So really, I like to focus on whether we're talking about school, going to school, or Halloween as making it as safe as possible or making it safer. And I do think if we follow those rules of wearing a mask, washing our hands, social distancing, that it can be done in a safe manner. I also want to remind everybody that's listening that there are other Halloween traditions besides trick or treat that can add to the normalcy of Halloween. You know, you can carve pumpkins with your family. That's something we do every year. You definitely can go to outdoor events, social distancing at a corn maze, those sorts of things. And then for those families that decide whether their child is at risk or they may have a family member that is at risk for COVID and don't feel comfortable sending their children out trick-or-treating, doing an indoor trick-or-treat scavenger hunt where they're hiding candy and the kids still get to dress up. They still get to go around the house and with their bags and looking for the candy. Doing virtual costume parties. So we definitely would recommend not having either school children doing parties this year. Definitely would strongly urge, as they were talking about in our earlier segment, limiting indoor gatherings. This goes for our college students as well as our adults to not participate in indoor Halloween parties this year. But do a virtual Halloween costume party, maybe with all of your nieces and nephews or the neighborhood children, where everybody gets on Zoom and everybody gets to see their costumes. So I think those are some of the ways, and Lisa had a great point about at least trying to normalize and enjoying the holiday as safely as we can.
And you're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're joined by Pediatric Associates of Mount Carmel Director and Ohio Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics President-elect Dr. Chris Peltier. We're also on the line with WVXU reporter Tana Weingartner. And so, Tana, as far as the regional response goes, did it seem like everybody was pretty much in line, as far as health officials go, with the CDC, like the federal guidelines? Was anybody different from that? We have had occasions where different governments have different approaches.
Not in my reporting did I notice that, at least in our tri-state area. Ohio and Kentucky went a little bit further in terms of the information that they have posted on their COVID-19 websites. But it is a reiteration of the CDC guidelines. Indiana was a little bit harder to find, at least at the time that I wrote this story a couple of weeks ago. They just straight up linked to the CDC on their site, you know, like Halloween's coming, here's what the CDC says, and didn't take much of a stance on that.
And Dr. Peltier, we are seeing numbers, as far as cases go, increase in younger patients, like the ones who you treat. What are you seeing as it relates to their health and COVID-19? You said they're resilient, but are you seeing anything that is maybe more concerning now than it was earlier in the pandemic?
I think locally, the biggest thing I think we're seeing is looking at the data that Cincinnati Children's has shared with us, as well as my own practice, we are seeing more cases of kids. That being said, at least in my practice, the children that have tested positive have either been asymptomatic or have had very mild illness. We luckily, at least in our practice, and from what I've heard from my colleagues around the city and at the hospital, have not had many, if any at all, of those serious reactions, the MISC that you hear about, that really severe inflammatory disorder that some children, especially in the New York area, were gathering. So while we are seeing numbers increase, and I think that goes along with the fact that within the state, as well as nationally, we are seeing more numbers, that it does follow that children are going, we're going to see more cases in children. Nationally, the American Academy of Pediatrics just updated the national positivity rate in kids. So of all of the cases of COVID throughout the country, somewhere between 10 and 11% of those are children. So still a small number, but again, not wanting to put our guard down and still making sure that we're masking, we're washing our hands, we're social distancing. The other big thing that I really want to stress to families, and it's something that both the Ohio chapter and the national AAP, as well as I think every pediatrician in the area is recommending, is making sure that kids get their influenza vaccine this year. And the Ohio chapter has a hashtag flu before boo. So ideally, everybody getting their flu vaccine before Halloween. It's just one more thing that we can do to sort of decrease illness in our community.
And I guess in less important news, Tana, Cincinnati Public Radio is having its annual Halloween event tomorrow, but it's not going to be here in person, of course. So we're all getting together on video.
No, Friday.
And is it Friday?
I think so. Uh-oh, I've just invited Zoom crashers.
No, it is Friday. Selena, the producer, just messaged me that I'm wrong about that, which I'm glad because I have an extra day to get it together. So thank you. But what are you dressing up as? You're always so good at this.
Well, I can't tell our listeners because then it would be a surprise. But if you have your camera on our Zoom meeting, I'll give you a hint.
Uh-oh. Only Josh can see it. So we'll take that hint and we'll get it offline. I'm not participating because you all were mean to me last year and did not get my costume.
I think you were not. I don't even know what you were last year.
I had the big shark face and I was dressed like a marathon runner and it was...
Oh, we weren't mean. We just didn't get it.
Exactly. You were too clever. Nobody gets me around here. Nobody gets me around here and I'm not participating anymore. Tana
Weingarten. Your big mouth.
Exactly. Running my big mouth. That was the joke. WVXU reporter Tana Weingarten and Dr. Chris Peltier. Thanks to both of you for being with us. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks, Michael.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.